I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. With summer winding up, we're squeezing in a summer reading conversation with a focus on audiobooks and the books that can keep you company from a cross-country road trip to a short drive to the beach. And if you aren't a fan of audiobooks, maybe this will change your mind.
Across the street from their house, in an empty lot between two houses, stood the rock pile. It was a strange place to find a mass of natural rock jutting out of the ground. And someone, probably Aunt Florence, had once told them that the rock was there and could not be taken away, because without it, the subway cars underground would fly apart, killing all the people.
That's narrator Dion Graham reading. He's the winner of the Golden Voice Award, and you can hear why. We'll be talking to him later in the hour. But here with me right now in the Studio 3 is Alicia Anstead. She's the editor of Inside Arts Magazine and the Harvard Arts Beat blog and our arts contributor. Alicia, welcome back.
Hi, Callie.
And joining us on the line from the studio in Portland, Maine, is Robin Whitten, the founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine. Thank you both for being here.
Hello.
So let me start with you, Robin. Let's talk about the increasing popularity of audiobooks. Let's say in the last 5 years, I'm just picking a time frame, how have you seen it grow?
Well, you know, everyone is busier in the last 5 years than they were, or they're busier now than they were 5 years ago. And we have lots to do. People are on the move. And audiobooks make that time when you're in the car, walking the dog, doing your chores, really go by fast, and you get your reading in.
Do you think that's what's actually drawn more people to it? Folks who are feeling as though they don't have time for sitting down to read, but if I can listen, I can still read.
Right. You can find out about, you can listen to and enjoy books that people are talking about or you've been dying to read and, you know, just haven't gotten that moment, that quiet moment that we still save for a special reading. But, you know, if you use audiobooks and you can read a lot more.
Alicia, so there's been a little bit of back and forth about people about whether or not audio books are really reading. People who are listening to audiobooks are really reading. Is that just now a false dichotomy?
I don't think we can really separate. There's all sorts of ways to take literature in, whether it's trash literature or the high class literature, all sorts of ways to take it in. Do you remember maybe your mother said to you or you heard someone with a child say to you, hey, at least he's reading the comic book or at least she's reading the comic book, and everybody thought, oh, it's great that they're reading. Listen, being in touch with language is being in touch with language. And whether it's coming in your ear or your eye, I have to say that I think audiobooks, ebooks, and regular old books are all viable ways to take in this art form.
So how do you feel about them?
I love them. Mm-hmm. I love them. And I never sit down and listen to an audiobook.
Oh.
Never.
Mm.
I always am doing something else. Gardening, making dinner, driving. And I don't know if that's, you know, what we use audiobooks for. We're multitaskers now. But the art of listening to a story is nothing new. It way predates books. So I think we're all suckers for a great story that we can listen to. I mean, you know, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The stories people
mm-hmm.
tell, the stories you tell your listeners every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we listen to radio. We love to be told a story.
Well, I ask that because you're the language queen, and so you like it on the page so much, and so you don't feel you're missing the language by doing other things while listening.
Well, it depends, Callie. I mean, there are some books I have taken in only as audiobooks. David Mitchell's Cloud Atlas, which has 6 characters in it, and each one is a different voice from a different performer. I couldn't connect to his book in print. I connected to it entirely by an audiobook. There are other, sometimes short stories I prefer to read just with them in my hand and to really savor that short form.
So, Robin Whitten, before you became started working for on behalf of audiobooks, were you an audiobook listener?
Well, that's actually how I started Audiophile Magazine, because I was a listener. And I thought, wow, this is a performance. This is something very special. I'm being taken into a world by a voice. I need to know more about this. And then I decided that I needed to write about it and help people understand that this is a performance with an actor, a narrator, coming in and bringing the author's words and story alive in an art form.
Well, let's listen to another clip from an audiobook. I'm particularly fascinated by Jack Kerouac's On the Road, because that seems to make sense if we're talking about being on the road and traveling and listening to audiobooks. And this is read by Will Patton.
One night while I was studying, there was a knock on the door, and there was Dean, bowing, shuffling obsequiously in the dark of the hall and saying, "Hello, you remember me? Dean Moriarty? I've come to ask you to show me how to write." "And where's Mary Lou?" I asked. And Dean said she'd apparently hoarded a few dollars together and gone back to Denver. The whore. So we went out to have a few beers because we couldn't talk like we wanted to talk in front of my aunt, who sat in the living room reading her paper. She took one look at Dean and decided that he was a madman.
I have to say, Robin, there's an intimacy there, and you feel as though you're in the room. You feel as though there's no book, that he is sort of just telling you the story, Will Patton telling you Jack Kerouac's story.
Right, and you know, that's what Kerouac intended. He was telling you the story, and, you know, suddenly there is this amazing intimacy. And the best narrators can do that. They make that link with the reader or listener.
All right. I know that everybody has a few audiobooks that they particularly love. We've already heard from some people who've weighed in on our Facebook page. But you can call us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. What is your favorite audiobook, and what has defined that big road trip for you? 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. And when you write to our Facebook page, we are at facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. Your favorite audiobook. Give us a call or write to our Facebook page. So let's talk to you, Alicia, about some of your favorite.
Well, I want to say something to Robin first, though. Yeah. I love, Robin, that you pointed out the theatricality of audiobooks, because I know that that's what draws me to any given audiobook. If I feel that I'm almost in a theater with that actor reading, and that there's a nuance in his or her voice, that there's the undertones of the character, that all of the same things that drive good theater, all of the same qualities, really drive good audiobooks. And I'm sure, Robin, you've listened to enough audiobooks that you have some that you just think, yikes, that just grates on my ear.
Is that true?
Yes, of course. But let's talk about the ones that are fabulous. I mean, you know, you hope that there'll be another one. You can turn it off. And if you're, you know, if it's not the right thing, if it's not making that connection. But there are some voices that not only are they in touch with the work of the author, but some voices just take you where, I mean, I start a book and I think, I'm not sure I know where this book is going, but I'm going where that voice is going. It's almost like a Pied Piper.
Well, then it seems to make sense to bring in Dion Graham. He's an actor and a voice artist and winner of the Golden Voice Award. Dion Graham, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Hello out there.
So how do you approach material to read as an artist and as an actor?
Well, when I am preparing to narrate an audiobook, you know, basically the first thing I do, excuse me, is read the book, because that's always a great thing to do. And I basically just jump into the work and let all that feed me, and just as you would as you're reading, as if you were reading a book, and let all that feed my imaginative forces and all that, and just try to get the sense of the story and connect with the characters and connect with the tone and what the author is trying to say as well.
Do you have to like the book, or does it matter?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It doesn't, let's put it this way. I won't say it doesn't matter. Books you like may be easier to connect with, but I have to say that I fall into the story so so easily that, you know, in terms of connecting with what's going on with it, you know, the writing may be better or not as good sometimes. But, you know, if you're telling the story, you're telling the story. So it's I find it hard not to connect with what's going on.
I want to give everybody a chance to hear you reading again, though we can just be drawn into your lovely voice listening to you talk. this is called A Hologram for a King. It was written by Dave Eggers and read by my guest, Dion Graham.
He called the lobby. Hello, Alan Clay here. What's your name? He asked names, a habit Joe Travol instilled back in the Fuller Brush days. Ask names, repeat names. You remember people's names, they remember you. The clerk said his name was Edward. Edward? Yes, sir. My name is Edward. Can I help you? Where are you from, Edward? Jakarta, Indonesia, sir. Ah, Jakarta, Alan said. Then he realized he had nothing to say about Jakarta. He knew nothing about Jakarta.
Wow. Well, I have to say, you know, I hate to be cliche and everything, but I'd listen to you read the phone book. That's pretty good.
If you can find a phone book.
All right. Well, okay, there's that.
Maybe there's an audio phone book.
But, wow. No wonder you're Mr. Golden Voice Award.
Thank you so much. Of all the things that I do, I really love narrating audiobooks. It's I think it's a great art form. It's evolving, and it's just it's exciting. As for someone who's loved reading and loved books all my life too, it's great that I get to combine all these passions with, you know, my acting work and narrating as well. So it's fantastic.
I'm going to let our arts contributor, Alicia Anstead, get in here. I think she has a question for you.
Yeah, Dion, I'm curious to know how your work with audiobooks compares to your work on stage and on television. Is there a different preparation for you? Do you think of the book as your script? I mean, what's different about the experience, or is there no difference for you?
That's a good question. And the short answer is yes and no. And here's what I mean by that. The ways in which it's different is that, you know, the form of audio, you're not seeing the person, you're not seeing the actor, you're not seeing the narrator, and everything is happening in the cinema of the mind, if you will. So, you know, I'm responsible for setting the tone towards channeling, hopefully, the author's intentions, as it comes through me, towards creating everything. And you don't have to do that in other art forms. And that's a fantastic challenge and a lot of fun as well. And it's really great. The no, I would say that it's not different for me in terms of how I approach it. For me, I think always the most important thing is to bring it to life and to tell the story, whether the story is on screen or on stage or in your ear. So that's the yes and no of it for me.
Well, let's bring in a caller, someone for whom you have, you and your fellow actors have brought audiobooks to life. Kathy from Fall River, go ahead. You're on the Boston Public Radio.
Hello, Kelly. I love your show.
Thank you.
I couldn't resist calling in because audiobooks have really changed my daughter's life and also mine. When she was in the sixth grade, she could not read, and it was so difficult that she turned away from books completely. And we got an audiobook that was so entrancing, and that got her back to the point where she had the book and the audiobook. It turns out she's an auditory learner where she could hear things. She had problems with phonetics. So when she heard pronunciation, and actually the Harry Potter books, and the person that reads them, he does 400 voices.
Jim Dale.
Yes, Jim Dale. I'm trying to think of his name. And it's just, you know exactly who's speaking of those 400 people. And it is so enthralling that what so many children need is to get the interest, and then they go through the process, and they have a mission where they want to accomplish. So that's number one. And that really got her through school, and I mean, changed her life completely. And I got involved in audiobooks as a result. And every time we went on a long trip, we listened to the audiobook, but we also bought the book. So we had both to reference. And the book that I just recently listened to was Franklin and Winston by John Meacham, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill, and it was phenomenal. I don't know the person that read it, but it was so enjoyable to listen to his voice. And as your previous speaker just said, he got into the intent, the humor. You actually think you're listening to Winston Churchill and his foibles and his funny humor. And and I have the book. And the book, although it's excellent, it's not as enjoyable as listening to this person speak it.
Very interesting.
So, I recommend it highly. And thank you so much, Callie, for a great show.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for the call. So, Robin, what we hear there is that people just love what Dion does in bringing the nuance out. But we also hear from Alicia that sometimes you listen to the book, then you listen to the audio book, and then you go back to the other book. So you're kind of a hybrid in the end.
Right. Well, you certainly can do that. And I think one of the things that's interesting about what Dion was saying is that one of the great, and Kathy in her call, that one of the great compliments to an audiobook narrator is for a listener to say they thought there was a whole cast.
Yes.
And it actually was just one voice. But in your mind, all of the characters came alive as if there was a room full of actors.
Mm. Dion, how do you go between many different characters? You know, if you're on stage, typically you're going to be portraying one character and you get to focus
right
on that. But in reading an audiobook, you have to go between several.
That's right. That's right. I would just say, I guess I have a vivid imagination. you know, it's funny because, you know, when you read a book, and like I said before, as a lifelong, intense lover of all kinds of books, when you read a book, you know, you don't have to work very hard to play the movie in your mind, if you will. Everything just begins to come to life. And I don't know, I really just try to jump off the cliff and just let it happen. So I think it's great to have a great imagination because you can, I can hear the characters, you know, I can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So they just come right on out.
And so can we.
Absolutely. Jump in on this conversation with Dion Graham, an actor, a voice artist, and winner of the Golden Voice Award, and with Alicia Anstead, who's the editor of Inside Arts and the Harvard Arts Beat blog and our arts contributor, and Robin Whitten, who is the founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. I want to mention a few audiobook suggestions from some of our Facebook writers. Caleb says, the Hitchhiker's Guide series is great for road trips. It's just the right mix of entertaining and engaging. Roberta says, Wallace Stegner, reading his short stories, is perfect for her. Christina says, Island of the Blue Dolphins by Scott Odell, read by Tantu Cardinal. A must, she says, for a drive with kids. So there are some suggestions. Okay, so now I'm going to be a little bit of the skunk at the garden party. I don't like audiobooks. I'm sorry, Dion. You're lovely, but I cannot concentrate.
I think I heard a little something about that before today.
Yes, I've tried and tried. I appreciate what you are bringing to the table. I loved the experience of being read to as a kid, and when I hear some of these clips, it has great resonance for me. But I'm telling you, I'll start listening, and then I'm doing my grocery list. It's just not working for me. I have great appreciation for it, the form, but, some of us must have a short attention span.
Do you tend to listen when you are doing other things, or do you tend to sit down and listen?
I've tried to listen in the car to nonfiction, you know, inspirational or practical stuff. I've even tried fiction. My mind wanders on everything. And I find myself, you know, three chapters in going, whoa, 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 whoa. Who's that? What happened? And I've heard that from other people. But
sure.
I'm right now I know I'm an oddity because most people who are drawn to it, as we've said, really get into it and they don't turn back. But I just had to put on the table that, hi, I'm just...
Well, you know, maybe... I'm going to put this on the table for you, too. Maybe you just haven't found the right thing to listen to yet, or perhaps you haven't found a narrator that you connect with, or, you know, you haven't found an audiobook that has been brought to life to capture your imagination. I know sometimes some people can listen while they're doing other things and they're able to do that. But some people I know really can't listen and do other things at the same time. Mm. So they don't listen in their car. They sit down, and that's their activity. As if they were going to read the book, they sit down and listen to it. So, you know, maybe you're one of those folks.
I think that may be the case. So I'll have to see if I can concentrate and do nothing and just listen. That'll probably work. But I'm a big reader. Now, I read all the time, you know, with books in my hand. So there you go. Now,
I have a recommendation for
okay.
you. Now, this goes and this actually also dovetails on, I believe it was Kathy who called in. I was talking about her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you might enjoy A Hologram for the King, which is the Dave Eggers that you featured a clip of before.
Okay.
I think it's a really great book about our contemporary moment in the world. And I think you might appreciate that. And, you know, even though this series that I've just started, which is called the Infinity Ring,
mm-hmm.
is targeted towards young folks, I think you might really enjoy this as well. It's three kids go back in time to fix history where it has gone wrong.
Mm.
And it's a really great book. It's a lot of fun. But really, there are all kinds of audiobooks out there, and there's a lot of talented people narrating as well. So, I mean, there must be something out there that might grab you.
Well, maybe. Let's get some more folks in on this conversation. Eileen from Newton, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say to start with that it's an amazing coincidence because I had just gone off the phone with my friend asking to borrow her Harry Potter CDs for a long drive.
Mm.
I turned on the radio and it went right to your show.
Oh, great.
But the reason, and it just hits home with me because we just took a family trip from Minneapolis to the Black Hills. So we're in the car for 10 hours each way. And we had gotten three audiobooks from the library. And the one that hit was Ramona and Beezus, age 8.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to that 5 times in the car, and I have a girl who's 7, and a boy who's 8, and a boy who's 10. We listened to it 5 times, and they were just completely enthralled, and Stalker Channing was a narrator. And it was just fantastic, and I just loved to see their reactions and quote the line, "I can't believe I ate the whole thing." And so we are definitely, we have a DVD player in our normal car, but we're going to be taking our regular car this weekend, but we've decided to get audiobooks for the weekend.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Great.
That's a great story. thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Now, that brings me to, we've talked about the fabulousness of Dion Graham's voice and what he brings to it in nuance. I'm curious from all of you about what happens when you have a narrator who really actually doesn't have that much nuance as far as I'm concerned. I want us to listen to Father's Day, which was written by Buzz Bissinger. He is a great writer. It's also narrated by him. But I don't think he's a great reader. However, I think it's quite effective, and we can talk about it on the other side. So here's Father's Day by Buzz Bissinger.
He leans back in the lazy boy I once gave him for his birthday and often watches the 10 o'clock news on Fox. Not because he wants to keep up on current events, but because he takes comfort in seeing the usual television newsmakers like the mayor and the police chief and the indicted city official. He also liked learning the names of the anchors and the weatherman. The world by its nature is chaotic and unpredictable, but Zach always narrows it down to a reliably straight line.
So Buzz's book, Father's Day, is about his son who is mentally challenged and their relationship. And they go on a long trip, and he writes about, you know, their whole life together as this trip unfolds. We've been talking about books that go especially well on trips. Robin, I want to get you to weigh in on this first, but I don't think that's a great read, but there is the, in terms of just pure reading, but the raw emotion, the connectedness to the material comes through, I think, so powerfully that it is a great read in a different way.
I completely agree. I mean, especially in a memoir like this, you have the author, there's something extra that you get that is, that really can't be replaced. It may be a little catch in the throat, which I think I heard there, a little pause that's, you know, a professional narrator might not make, that breaks the sentence a little bit, but you get an emotional connection between the author, who is also telling you this story, and that adds a lot, and it can be amazing. It also cannot work. I mean, not all authors should read their work, but you know, in this case, I think it's particularly effective with Buzz.
I will add, before I go to Alicia to get her to weigh in on this, that the late David Halberstam wrote, you know, beautifully, and I once asked him to read his material. He said, you know, no, somebody else reads for me. I don't read. And I kept saying, oh, no, I'm sure you can. No, he was absolutely horrible, as he himself would agree, would he be here? So I can tell you that everybody cannot read their own material. Well, with that, Alicia, what do you think about Buzz Bissinger's read of Father's Day?
As I was listening to the clip, I was thinking, this is a writer reading his work, because I could hear the pause of a writer rather than the pause of an actor. Mm. Now, that's not true for another fabulous writer, Ian McEwan, who reads his own On Chisel Beach, which is, it's a very short book, it's a very short listen or read, either way you take it, and he reads it beautifully. Robin, do you know that recording?
I do, and McEwan is amazing, but he also, I think, is a, you know, his whole life is as a writer. And, you know, he may, some writers often read their work as they are writing it, so they're hearing it. And, you know, if they use that exercise, then sometimes they tend to be better public readers of the same work.
And Dion, it's a little bit, I mean, you know, this is your job, but do you have an appreciation for kind of the raw emotion that is evidenced by Buzz's reading his own story about he and his son?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I really agree with what Robin said before, in that, you know, there's just an added dimension because it's his own work and it's his own voice and it's his story. And, you know, he's not trying to act it or play it or anything like that. And I just think that you can hear his obvious connection to the material, which of course is what I think is always important to try to bring out and to do when you're narrating something. So yeah, I think, you know, whatever quote technical aspects that you might quibble with, if it were not him reading, you know, we look over all that because he's obviously connected to his story.
We are talking about audiobooks, the best recordings to keep you company on your road trips for this last stretch of summer. There's something called the Audies, by the way. That's another Golden Voice Award. Are you up for any of those, Dion Graham?
Well, we've already had them for this year, and I was up for four this year, and I did not prevail this time, but that's perfectly fine. It was really an honor to be nominated for four, and I've won a few in the past.
So all right. Well, I mean, next time. All right. So we want to know from all of you, from each of you, rather, your favorites that you would urge people to pop in the car or, you know, tool around while they're doing something else in motion. I'll start with you, Alicia.
So I'm not going to start with my favorite because that I have a list of favorites.
Okay.
But I want to mention one thing to your listeners, and that is that you heard earlier people passing audiobooks around. Your public libraries have tons of audiobooks, many of which can be downloaded online to any of your mobile devices. So you don't have to go out and make the purchases, although we love when you do in the industry, I'm sure. But that's not the only way to come across the audiobooks. So the most haunting, terrifying, fabulous experience that I had with an audiobook was driving at night from New York City to Bangor, Maine, listening to Cormac McCarthy's The Road, read by Tom Stechschult.
And let's just hear a little bit of it. Here, because we have
a great narrator.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of that.
An hour later, they were on the road. He pushed the cart, and both he and the boy carried knapsacks. In the knapsacks were essential things, in case they had to abandon the cart and make a run for it. Clamped to the handle of the cart was a chrome motorcycle mirror that he used to watch the road behind them. He shifted the pack higher on his shoulders and looked out over the wasted country. The road was empty. Below in the little valley, the still gray serpentine of a river, motionless and precise. Along the shore, a burden of dead reeds. "You okay?" he said. The boy nodded. Then they set out along the black top in the gunmetal light, shuffling through the ash, each the other's world entire.
That was scary.
Yeah. His voice is in perfect consort with Cormac McCarthy's writing. And it's slow, just like the one that you played before.
Mm-hmm.
But because Cormac McCarthy has to be taken at a slower pace, it feels so rich to me.
All right. Mm. Okay. So Robin Whitten, one of your favorites you would put forward.
Does it matter which kind of a trip we're on?
No.
I'm sort of into the Scandinavian thriller writers.
Mm.
So, and I just listened to the Nightmare. By, as long as we're talking about scary things.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
By Lars Kepler, who is a Scandinavian, Swedish, actually it's a couple that write. And their The Hypnotist was their previous book. Very popular. This Nightmare is new. And it's, you know, it's a Swedish police detective, solving a very complex crime.
And you're saying beach trips and the unexpected long trip because of traffic.
Yeah.
That works. I want to squeeze in Dion before we have to run out of time. Dion, your favorite. The new series?
I don't know if I have a favorite or not, but one that I really, really loved was a book called Let the Great World Spin. I forget who the author is.
But
it's a multi-narrator work. And I thought all of those narrators and the book itself was
Colin McCann.
It was really great.
Robin says Colin McCann is the author of the book.
Yeah,
so.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you. Yeah. Really great.
Well, fabulous conversation from all of you about this. I'll give it a try, Dion.
We'll find you one you'll love.
Okay. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking about audiobooks, the best recordings to keep you company on your road trips for this last stretch of summer, and I've been joined by Robin Whitten, the founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, and Alicia Anstead, the editor of Inside Arts and the Harvard Arts Beat blog and our arts contributor, and Dion Graham, an actor, voice artist, and winner of the Golden Voice Award. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. The conversation continues 24 hours a day on our Facebook page. We'll be back tomorrow off the menu with Corby Kummer. That's tomorrow from noon to 2. I'm Callie Crossley. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH.